levels of digital. Digital, you can always erase it. Okay, Bishus Roshe Kolel, Rabbi Blazer, Rabbi Singer. You know, when Rabbi Kowalski, who, by the way, deserves a tremendous yishar koyach, who facilitates all these talks. So he asked me a few days ago for a topic, and I sort of like jokingly asked him, you know, it's okay to speak about Torah in a kolel. So like, you know, I don't even major chedushim. I mean, it's a mokum Torah shenkamohu. It's a gem of the community. So I'm going to speak about Torah. It's like, you know, meeting with the executives of General Motors and telling them the virtues of the automobile. So like, Pavalsky, you know, said the poshut. So it'll be the hakdama of the Mesil Shasharim. In other words, the Ramchal writes, no chedushim here. And the point is to make it more, you know, more on the tips of our lips. So if you review it, you review it. It's not so posh. The truth of the matter is that that Akdoma, if you take a look at the Yunim from Rabbi Cheskel Sarna, he racks his brains to try to figure out what in the world the Ramchal is saying. There's no chidushim. I mean, he quotes the Vilna Gaon, says until Perek Yud Aleph in the Mesilas Yesharim, there's no extra word. So how can you say there's no chidushim here? I mean, how does he say it? And he says it. So he tries to be mataritz. He says, really, for the Ramchal, it was no chidushim. For him, it was no chidushim. He was talking about himself. And obviously, for everybody else, huge chidushim. And perhaps, Rabbi Cheskel Sarna says that, you know, what he meant for himself is that you have to chazer. So perhaps along those lines, not quite those lines, but along those lines, you know, if you have rib steak every night, obviously you lose the appreciation for it. So behind Hora, you know, you have Yungle Light and all others coming and sitting and learning Torah every day. It's possible. It's possible, like everything else in life. Something you do every day, maybe you could lose appreciation for it. The godless chashivas of what we're doing. So maybe perhaps a few nekudas on rejuvenating that feeling of the chashivas HaTorah. In the Sefer Aruch HaSadikim, which is a Musa Sefer, but you know, he has a chapter, a Shar HaTorah, and in the beginning he quotes, seemingly, more or less, a Mishnah Pirkei Avos. V'shlosha k'sarim nichneru Yisrael. Kal Yisrael has three crowns, Keset Torah, Keset Kehuna, Keset Malchus. Kesekuhuna zocha ba'ara, and he quotes a pasuk. Kesemalcha zocha ba'adavi, and he quotes a pasuk. Keset Torah, what about the crown of Torah? Hare munach v'yomei muchal l'chol Yisrael. It's there, set, and ready, prepared for the ganz klal Yisrael. Shenema, as it says, famous pasuk in the Torah, Torah tziv alon Moshe morosha kilash Yaakov. Kol mi sheyirtze yovo v'yito. It's an open field, the Torah. Malchus, Kahuna, that you have to be privy to. But Torah, anybody could have. So what does it mean, the pasuk that he's quoting, Torah Tziva Lona Moshe, Marasha Kilas Yaakov? Ramban says, that means that Torah is a possession for Klal Yisrael to be transmitted midor lador, from one generation to another. The Maharal Miprag says something interesting. He says, Morasha comes from the word Mo'orasha. Mo'orasha means married to. Klal Yisrael and the Torah are married. And if they're separated, the Torah cries out, says the Maharal. So I'm being torn away from my mate. Imagine the connection that there is between Klal Yisrael. Just picture in your mind a husband and a wife, Chalila. Torah is being torn away if we don't study it. If we don't have it with us all the time. Years ago, I heard from Rav Gifter. Rav Gifter, you know, used to frequent Miami. His son-in-law, Rav Foya Zangazunt, was a Rav in Miami Beach. So, Mamela, Rav Gifter used to come, used to get him to speak, get the schmooze. And I heard from him, one of the golden nuggets that I heard from him, he says, many people translate Morasha incorrectly, an inheritance for Klal Yisrael. That's the wrong word. That's Yerusha. Yerusha is an inheritance. Marusha, he said, is an heirloom. The example he gave was a grandfather clock. When you get a grandfather clock from a previous generation, you leave it just the way it is. You get an inheritance, a car. You get a car, you can paint it, you can sell it. Whatever you want, you can do with the car. It's an inheritance. You do what you want. It's yours now. Do what you want with it. But a grandfather clock, you don't mess with. You don't paint it. You just leave it the way it is. And when it's your time, you pass it on to the next generation. Said Rav Gifter, that's what Torah is. Torah is a morosha. It's an heirloom. You know, there's a moshul given with, in the olden days, before the average person carried a timepiece, a watch, they had the town clock. The town clock stood very tall. For two reasons. The obvious reason is that people from far away can see it. You're a block or two away, you can see the clock, see what time it is. But there was another reason. And because you may have some people who do have their own timepieces, and they walk over to the clock, and they compare the two, and they see, right? They're not the same. The town clock must be off, and they'll adjust the town clock to their watch. So they put it up high. No, this is the time. If you have to make any adjustments, make the adjustments to your watch. Don't make the adjustments to the town clock. That's why they put it high. The Torah is the same way. If any adjustments have to be made, we have to recognize the chashivas that Torah is. You make the adjustments to ourselves. We don't make adjustments to the Torah. There's a maaser brought down, a lekach tov. He has a volume called Chayim Shel Torah. It's fabulous stuff in there. It brings a maaser that a certain town wrote a new sefer Torah, and they decided to have a competition amongst the women in town to make the mantle or the cover for the sefer Torah. And whoever wanted to join the competition, that's fine. And the rov of the city was going to choose which one was the nicest one for the sefer Torah. And a few women took part in this competition. It came the day, the achnos sefer Torah, the sefer Torah is already, it's there. And the women presented their covers. And the rov makes the decision, he chooses one of the covers. And this woman is so proud. And she's sitting in the back there. She sees the rov take the mantle and put it on the sefer Torah. As he's lowering the mantle onto the sefer Torah, it's like a half an inch too short. Doesn't come down to the bottom. Oh, and he's looking. What do we do? She calls out from the back, "Wait, rov, wait a second. I happen to have a scissor on me." And she runs over. Yeah, what are you going to do? That's no problem. We'll just snip off a little bit of the parchment on the bottom, the Sefer Torah, and it'll fit perfectly. Obviously, right before she gets a chance to do that, he says to her, whoa, wait. We don't make adjustments to the Sefer Torah. This is the mantle. You'll take it home. I'm sure you'll do a good job. You figure something out. You'll bring down the hem. We don't make adjustments when it comes to the Sefer Torah. I share with you something that I witnessed with my own eyes. There's a yeshiva in Queens, New York, Tiferes Moshe. Who's Tiferes Moshe? Tiferes Moshe is named after Rav Moshe Leibowitz, who happened to be my Rosh Yeshiva of Henoch Leibowitz, his father of David's brother, Moshe Leibowitz, was supposed to come from Slabodka to America to assist him in building Torah in America. He took sick and passed away in Europe. He was a chaver and a chavrusa of Yaakov Kamenetsky. So there was an occasion that Rabbi Yaakov came and spoke in Tiferes Moshe, so I went to hear him. And after he spoke, they took him on the principal, the Menahel took him for a tour around the building. And one of the things that they showed him was the preschool rooms. And he comes over to the preschool room, and by one of the rooms, he noticed that the mezuzah on the door is really very low down. It must be like 2 feet off of the, 3 feet off of the ground, off the floor. It was a very conscientious Mora who wanted to allow the children to be able to reach the mezuzah, kiss the mezuzah. So she lowered the mezuzah all the way down. So I'm standing there and I see Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky say to the Menahel, "There are any tools around in the building? Can you bring a screwdriver? Can you bring a hammer?" And they bring it. And Rabbi Yaakov himself undoes the mezuzah. He measures, according to the halacha, where it's supposed to be, the bottom of the top third of the doorway. And he places it up there with a screwdriver of Yaakov himself. And he brings over one of those little chairs. And he says, Menahel, you know what? We'll take this chair and we'll leave this chair here. And any child comes along, wants to kiss the mezuzah, stand up on the chair, you see Menahel. We don't lower the mezuzah for the child. We raise the child to the mezuzah. And then he said something incredible. We don't lower the standards of the Torah to the population during whatever time it is. We raise the generation to the standard of the Torah. Which is an incredible lesson, especially in the times that we live now. It's everything that's referred to as modern, 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 modern. Yes, of course, we live in a modern world, technology. But we don't make adjustments to the Torah, to the technology. We make adjustments to the technologies that can fit into the Torah. So how important is Torah study, even though we're doing it every day, B'liayin Hara? So it's a Gemara, Shabbos Lamed Aleph, that says, V'achrish Hayomim, every person is going to be faced with an entrance exam, so to speak, to Gan Eden. You figure you finished high school, college, whatever you did, finished with your test notes, entrance exam. 6 questions, you got to get them all right. If you get any of the 6 questions wrong, recycle. The second of the 6 questions is, Kavata Itim Torah. Did you set aside time every day to learn Torah? This is a marsha we'll get to a little later because it's quoted by someone else. Everybody's familiar, must be, with the Maaseh of the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim was known that after Tisha B'Av and after Yom Kippur, in his town, he would stay in the Beis Medrash, stay in the shul after the fast days for an hour or so. When people used to come back to the shul, so he would go eat, break his fast. Why? He says everybody's breaking their fast, everybody's going to eat, so nobody's learning Torah. The world can't stand without Torah, so the Chofetz Chaim would stay there and learn, so keep the world going. When people finish eating, they would come back, okay, he would go eat, now there's other people learning Torah. When's the first time I heard this Maisa? My father, Zechon Levracha, was a Rav for many years, shul in Brooklyn. And they had this annual dinners. And the guest speaker one year was Rav Scheinberg, Zechon Levracha. Rav Scheinberg, my father had a special connection. You know, Rav Scheinberg was the Mashkiach for 25 years of Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva before he started Torah. My father's a Talmud of Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva, so he had a strong connection. So he came and he spoke at the dinner. He tells this mice with the Chofetz Chaim. I was about 10 years old at that time. Rav Scheinberg finished speaking. I walk over to him. And I asked him the obvious question. So the Chofetz Chaim had to leave. Of course, Ashlosh Devarim Olam Omeid. There's no Torah being learned. There's different time zones in the world. And someone else somewhere else is learning. So what does the Chofetz Chaim have to do this for? So Rav Scheinberg told me, which to me was a huge chiddush. He says, when the Mishnah says, V'shosh Dvarim Olam Ome, it doesn't mean the Olam. It means your Olam. Raden is your world. Raden cannot go on unless there's Torah being learned in Raden 24-7. It doesn't mean Olam as we view the world. What's your world? Your world. Where you're living. Your community. That's where you're living. That's why the Chofetz Chaim had to do it. So our world is North Miami Beach, Rabbi Isai. So I'm not quite sure what to say. I mean, maybe we should go around the room here. I know, Lal Baruch Hashem, we have Masmidim here. But raise your hand, who's taking the 2 o'clock a.m. shift? Who's taking the 4:30 a.m. shift? I mean, according to Rav Scheinberg's Pshat. So this troubled me, the truth is, for many years, because I imagine, how many communities have 24-7 Torah being learned? So Siat Nishmai, I came across a Taz, unbelievable Taz. If you want to look it up, it's Taz in Evan Ezer. Simon Chofei Sif Aleph. The Taz says, black and white, that if a person goes to sleep, he goes to bed, and his intention for going to sleep is so that he can have koichos to learn the next day, his sleeping time is his learning time. So he is learning. So we don't have to take shifts at 2 o'clock in the morning. Enjoy your sleep. Because we assume, especially this crowd, when people are going to sleep at night, going to bed at night, so they have koichos to serve Hashem, to learn Torah. Torah is the only thing, of course, that prevents a person from sinning. Barasi Yetzahara, Barasi Torah Tavlin, Gemara Kedushin, Daf Lamed. And the Yetzahara is always there. And it's the only thing, it's the only time, it's the only remedy for the Yetzahara. It's going on record, the Gemara is going on record. It's like when they had the disease scurvy, and it was scrambling around for all different kinds of remedies for scurvy, until they came across the one thing, vitamin C. Vitamin C is the only thing that takes care of scurvy. You can take all the medications in the world. If you don't take vitamin C, you don't get rid of scurvy. So a person has the Yetzirah, you could try Alakunsen, it's not going to make a difference. It's only Torah. Barasli Yetzirah, Barasli Torah Tavla. It's the only way, Torah is the only way to avoid spiritual death. We say it every day, Kihem Chayenu V'Yarech Yameinu. It's our life. In fact, you look in the Orach Chaim says, Kihem Chayenu is Olam Hazeh, Yarech Yameinu is Olam Haba. It's the only thing that saves a person from spiritual death. In other words, the guf, the body, a person's physical, needs certain things, food, clothing, housing. And the neshama, this has spiritual needs, Torah, Mitzvah, Chesed. So how choshev is it? How choshev is Limud HaTorah? Listen to a pasuk in Rashi in Bamidbar. Eila toldos Aaron and Moshe, b'yom dibei Hashem es Moshe b'Hasinai. These are the toldos, simply means the children of Aaron and Moshe. Next pasuk, the Eila Shmos b'nei Aaron. And these are the names of the children of Aaron and Elis, not the Vavi, Elas, we saw them. Yes, Rashi, the obvious question. Eila told us Moshe, Aaron, Moshe, v'ina maskiya ella b'nei Aaron. The Torah is only enumerating the children of Aaron. You're telling me these are the children of Moshe and Aaron, and you only enumerate the children of Aaron. What's going on here? V'nikru told us Moshe, and they're referred to as children of Moshe. Why? Listen to this. L'fi shalamdim Torah, because Moshe Rabbeinu taught Aaron's children Torah. Malamed teaches us, shakal malamed has been chaver Torah, you teach your friend's son Torah. Malo lo v'kosev kiilu yolodos, as if you gave birth to that child. Don't understand the Rashi. You can tell me Moshe Rabbeinu is a great man, he's a tzaddik, he's Baal Chesed, that he reached out and he taught Moshe, he taught Aaron's children Torah, fine. How's Shaykh to use Kilu Yilodo? See, gave birth, Yele Yolodo. Mialedet. Mialedet is a woman who helps a woman give birth. How can you say Moshe Rabbeinu Kilu Yilodo? It was Aaron's children, it wasn't Moshe's children. The Lashon. By the way, it's a Gemara. Rashi is quoting a Gemara. And perhaps the Pshat is, if you think about it, Rabbi Yisai, the whole tachlis of the Briyas HaOlam was for Torah. The whole tachlis, if you look in Chazal, there are numerous psukim that go through with the Mefarshim, that the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was so we can get the Torah from Har Sinai. It comes out that you can have a child being born, and he is physically born. A walking, talking, breathing robot. But Klapishmaya Galia, in terms of the essence of the purpose of the birth, is not born until he learns Torah. Because that's the purpose of his birth. Ah, you're walking around, that's not being born, that's a robot. When Moshe Rabbeinu taught Aaron, they weren't born yet. When you teach someone else's child Torah, you even imagine the Koyach HaTorah, imagine the Chashivas HaTorah. The child is not considered born until that point. So how much do I have to learn? Well, Pasuk in Yehoshua, V'gisa bo yom v'layla. Pasuk in Yehoshua, so what does it mean? The Rambam, Hilchos Talmud Torah, if you want to look it up, Aleph Ches, he says, set aside time every day. Doesn't say how much. 5 minutes, 5 hours, depends how much you can manage. I'll tell you something incredible. I know of a young man who went to Rav Scheinberg for a bracha. Rav Scheinberg asked him, what kind of bracha you want? He said, I want a bracha to become a Talmud Chacham. So Rav Scheinberg said to him, what kind of Talmud Chacham you want to become? So the guy was gutsy. He said, a Talmud Chacham like you. So Rav Scheinberg said to him, has nothing to do with a bracha. You want to become a Talmud Chacham like me? Do what I did when I was your age. The guy was 19 years old. He said, do what I did when I was 19. What'd you do? He said, I came to the base medrash every morning. My chavrus and I said good morning to one another, and we learned straight, uninterrupted, 17 hours every day. Now, I got a problem with 17 minutes straight. 17 hours. Now, Rav Scheinberg, you know the history. He was 19 years old. He got married 19 years old. He went from his American. He went to the Mir, and he went to the Chofetz Chaim for a bracha first. And then he went to the mirror and he learned for 5 years, became Rav Scheinberg. 17, I said, that has nothing to do with a bracha. You want to become a Talmud Chacham? You got to learn. 17 hours uninterrupted. The Radak says, a person has to learn whenever he's free from his necessities. It's known that the Chofetz Chaim used to open up his store. He had a shop. He used to open up a store until he made enough money to keep him going for that day. Then he closed the store and he went to learn. The Meiri says, it's not so much the time. It's the priority, the focus, the primary focus that a person has in his life is Torah. That's what the Meiri says. I had an encounter a few years ago. I went to a mom and pop grocery store in Borough Park. I walk into the store. It struck me very strange. The owner of the store is standing behind the counter. And he's got a save. I'm the Yechovah's of Lovah Shabbi Tachin. He's learning. Behind the counter next to the cash register. So I sort of like, you know, I don't know, it was my facial expression. You know, I said, you know, my hi, what's going on? You're running a business here? You're learning. What's going on? So he explained to me the two reasons I do this. He says, number one, the most important thing in my life is Torah. I run a store, I have no choice. I got to make a panos. But whenever I have an opportunity to learn, so I pick up the sefer. I learn. But there's another reason, he said. It's good for business. Well, good for business. Yeah, the sultan is unbelievable. Anytime the store is empty, I pick up the sefer. Mit amos, a flood of people coming in to bother me. Where's this? Good for business. So I keep a sefer. I can see a Shabbat talking. Right here. Good for business. It's important also that we maintain the Torah that we learn. We don't forget anything we learned. It's the Gemara Sanhedrin Parachelik that says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha Omer Kol Alomei Torah Ve'ena Choze Olea Domel Odom Shazorea Ve'ena Kotze. Many people may be familiar with that from a Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Says the Marsha, Hamlama Ve'ena Choze Ki Alomei Torah Ve'ena Choze, a person who learns and doesn't review, Techilas Puloso Hu Lelo Yoyla. What he did at the outset was of no, it didn't help him. Ula in Tachlis, there's no Tachlis, no purpose for it. Same thing when you plant something. If you don't reap it, it was for naught. The fact that you learned, it was literally lareik. Lareik is zero, zippo. You didn't learn. What do you mean? I learned it. You didn't review it, you didn't learn it. I heard from Rav Gifter, another golden nugget I heard from Rav Gifter, said in Yiddish when it comes to learning. Ein mol is kein mol. Zwei mol is ein mol. Drei mol is ein mol. Und ein mol chazor. You learned it once, like a cane mol. You didn't learn it. I was zochah two times in my life to talk with the stipler. They were both incredible encounters, you could imagine. But one of the times he told me something was shocking. Remember, I'm talking to the stipler here. He told me that when he opens up a blot Gemara, he has to read the Gemara over 10 times. No Rashi, no Tosfos, just the Gemara 10 times to get clarity in the Shak Levatara. What exactly is the Kasha? How the Teretz is answering the Kasha? How is it Araya? Why didn't the Gemara think about this before? He reads it over. The stipler's telling me, he's his age, he must have been then probably in his 70s. He has to read the Gemara over 10 times in order to understand. Pshat. No Rashi, no Tosfos. So, years ago, I made a tremendous effort to try as much as possible to have encounters with our Gedolim. And I had a few opportunities with Rav Moshe Feinstein. I saw things which were incredible. I had one encounter, I was speaking to him. It was at a fundraising dinner, and nothing was going on. And Rav Moshe was sitting there alone. I went over to, I started discussing some halakhos. In the middle, somebody came over, asked if he can interrupt. Listen to this. He asks Rav Moshe a kasha on a marsha in Masechta Kedushin Daf Nun. A kasha on a marsha, Kedushin Daf Nun. On the spot, Rav Moshe answers his question, tells him Pshat Namarsha. I mean, he's like he was just doing it. I mean, he was like, now you're not talking Daf Beis, you're not talking to Rashi Tosfos. You're talking about a marsha, Daf Nun in Kedushin. So, after seeing Rav Moshe doing these kinds of things a few times, I finally built up enough guts. I asked him. I said, how's a shaykh to know everything? How can you know everything? I mean, you may be very smart, but how can you know everything? So he says to me, he answers with a question. He says, what's your address? I said, 1495 Coney Island Avenue. He said, whoa, Eluya shook up. Wow, it's unbelievable. I asked your address in a second, you told it to me. I said, what's pshat? Every time you come home, you look up, you see the number of your house, you see the street. In those days before email, every time you wrote a letter, you wrote your address. You're constantly chazering your address. That's why you know it like that. It's spit back information. You're constantly chazering it. He said, I would be a shaita if I wouldn't know. I just learned it. I just reviewed it. I'm constantly chazering. That's why I know it. And then he said, and you can do the same thing. I think he had something else going for him also. You understand? But Rav Moshe attributed everything that he knew. I don't think he was clearly lying to me. He attributed the fact that he knew everything simply because he chazed. You understand, by the time he was 70 years old, he had chazed Shas 200 times. At the same time, he had chazed Yoredeya 600 times. And you wonder why the person knows it when you ask him. He chazed Yoredeya, most of the Shas in Yoredeya. He's chazed 600 times. Anybody who's done a decent chazara numerous times, you know it. You know it. The closest I ever came to it, it's a busha to say it in the same sentence. You know, I remember I was learning for smicha. So you're learning for smicha. You know, where our yeshiva is, a 7-hour oral bechina on your day of choshen mishpat. So it's crunch time. The last 3 months of crunch time. You're chazering. So I think if I recall correctly, I chazered it all over 13 times. I can tell you, I'm not bragging. It's poshut. If you would have woken me up at 2 o'clock in the morning and asked me what the Taz says here, I would be able to tell you. Why? Because it's mamish, I'm chazaring it. That's the value of chazara. The Av Beis Din in Flatbush is Rabbi Elimelech Bluth. So I spent a few summers with Rabbi Bluth. Told me an amazing thing once. He says he was davening by Rav Moshe in his house, in his apartment one day, and after davening, Rav Moshe asked if he minded bringing a bottle of schnapps and some mazonas from the kitchen into the dining room where they daven. He says, I have to make a lachaim. So he asked him what the simcha was. So Rav Moshe didn't want to say, but if you know Rabbi Luth, he could be pretty pushy. And he coerced Rav Moshe into telling him why he's making the lachaim. So Rav Moshe told him that Baruch Hashem, last night he just finished the tour with the Beis Yosef the 450th time. Now Reb Luth said to me, the chiddush to him was not that he did it 450 times. Chiddush that he knew it was 450. I mean, you review something so many times, who keeps cheshbin? That he knew he reviewed it, but he knew it was 450 times. It's important, Rabbi said, to remember that everything we do should be connected to Torah. There's a maisa brought down from Yaakov Galinsky in the same sefer, in the Chaim Shel Torah, the Lekach Tov. He brings a maisa of the head of the Bedouin community was invited to join the city folk for a meeting. And the head of the city folk asked his Bedouins, anything we can do, we want to make sure you're comfortable, anything we can do for you. So this chief Bedouin said, we don't have running water in our huts. And we have to schlep to the well with pails and stuff. Maybe you could help us out. I noticed since I've been here, you have these things, these faucets. You turn a faucet, you get water. Can you supply us with these faucets? We have about 40 huts in our village. You could provide them. So that's what they did. They shipped them the next week 40 faucets. See, obviously, comes to the puts the faucet in the shack, turns off and happens. He comes running back. He says, I don't understand it. Wait a second. I turn the faucet on, nothing comes out. He says, please, it's not just a faucet. The force connected to the pipes, got a reservoir, the well, got to be a connection, says Rav Yaakov Galinsky. Kol mi shesover, anybody who thinks shalimad haTorah yochel echoshev kichavayanima. Anybody who thinks that Torah could be considered like a pleasant experience, she'ina mechayeves halicha la'ora, that doesn't obligate the person to follow it to its light, eino elato, is making the mistake of his life. Chavaseinu liyos kashurim lamaya na Torah. Our obligation is to be connected to the maya and to the well of Torah, shehi mekor chayim, which is the source of life. That means everything we do in our daily routine has to have a connection to Torah. We have to see it through the eyes of the Torah. Torah has to be in the backdrop of everything we do. In b'chukosai teilechu, uvelechtecha v'aderech. That's the purpose of the pesukim. When you're on the go, when you're shopping, when you're playing ball. Say a maestro of Chaim Briska, he used to learn with his son, the father, the future of Briska Rav. And every once in a while, in the middle of their Seder, he used to send his son, the future of Briska Rav, he used to send him for an errand to get something from the store. Finally, he was gutsy enough to ask his father, in the middle of learning, what are you in the middle of learning? He's sending me out of the middle of Torah, what's going on here? So Reb Chaim Briska told him, I did it for one reason. Because life has its challenges. You may not have an opportunity just to sit in a base medrash all day and learn. You're going to have to take care of things for life. I want you to adjust to the concept that here, when you go to the store, you got Torah on your mind. You go in here, you got Torah on your mind. I did it for that purpose, to adjust you to that kind of lifestyle. Let me share an unbelievable... I'm going to run out of time. Listen to this. Wow. Coming up, Pashas Vayishlach. Yosef sends the brothers back, and he says to them, "Al tirguzu baderech." Don't get confused on the road. Rashi says, "Al tirguzu, al tisasku b'dvar halacha." Don't get involved in learning. Shalot tirguzu aleihem baderech. You shouldn't get confused on the road. Rabbosai, imagine if you knew a person who bought a $6 million lotto ticket, and you were holding the ticket. You checked it out for him. He won. And you're standing here with me, you know, and you say, "Oh, I better tell him he won. I have a stick. I got to break the news to him. He won $6 million. I imagine me saying to you, "Oh, by the way, you know, don't step in the base measures on the way. Don't go to the carlo on the way. You know, make sure you have a beeline to the guy." What, Michigan Cupist or what? They break the news. I'm carrying this news that the guy won $6 million. What do you think? I'm going to get distracted. I'm going to go to the base measures on the way. What, do a Stein Mikra or what? Crazy. What's Yosef talking about? That's pshat. Because Yosef knew his brothers, that their connection to Torah was so incredible. It's not shayich for them to be without Torah. He has to tell them, "Al tirguzu baderech." Be very careful. They're carrying the news that, oh, Yosef chai. Imagine the news. What's $6 million? He hasn't seen in years. His son, he thinks he's dead. He's carrying the news. They're going to get distracted? Yes, they're going to get distracted. Because that's what their connection... And Yosef knew that's their connection to Torah. He has to warn them. By the way, it doesn't mean that he told them not to learn at all. Al tisasku b'dvarlo. Don't be oisik in Torah. No one should think. By the way, for all this Torah talk, does a person ever have to take a break? Of course. I'm going to tell you two maises. One of them... You'll want to believe. The other one you're not going to want to believe. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky came to speak at the yahrzeit, the 50th yahrzeit of the Altan Slabotka, came to Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva. So on his way out, Rabbi Yaakov was Talmud Slabotka, on his way out, my friend and I, Rabbi Label Rakoff, who's now in New York City, Rabbi Label Rakoff asks him, Rabbi Yaakov, the following question. He says, "The Seder in the nighttime ends in Yeshiva 10:30. Until Marav, and you take a snack, it's 11 o'clock. I have to be in bed at 12 o'clock. I can go to base medrash and learn for another hour. Can I take off time from learning to do exercise?" That was his question. So Rabbi Yaakov says, "Do you take off time from learning to breathe?" So we didn't know what he meant. So he opened up a sefer. He says, "How dare you breathe? When you breathe, bittul Torah. How can you breathe? When you breathe, you're not learning. Parshut. If you don't breathe, you drop dead. If you drop dead, you can't learn. So of course you take off time from learning. So of course you take off time to exercise. Because if you don't exercise, you're not healthy. If you're not healthy, you can't learn." Now, that's the one you could believe. I have an uncle, Zayn Gesund. He's over 95 years old. American born. Went to the Mir in Europe to learn as a child. He's 13 years old. In the Mir in Europe, they took him to a camp. They used to take the Bachram to a camp during the summertime. Here's the first chiddush. By the way, I heard the second hand. My son told me that my uncle told him. I didn't want to believe it. So I went to my uncle myself. there. And by the way, if you think he lost his mind already, you know, he was 95 years old, he quoted to me a Tazen, Evan Ezer, and I looked it up, it was there. You know, he was on his game. So, he says, here's the first Kiddush. In the Mir camp, they wore bathing suits all day except for davening and learning. They wore bathing suits. Word got out one day, Rabbi Yerucham was coming to visit the camp. Oh, Rabbi Yerucham was coming. So they all put their suits on, you know, they came to the train station, they meet Rabbi Yerucham. Rabbi Yerucham gets off the train. And he came down, he gave every boy a bracha, he put his hands on their head, including my uncle, gave him a bracha. Then he stood up, he said, on a platform where they put the valises, you know, valises and suitcase. There was a platform there, Rabbi Yerucham stood up on a platform, and he said, Rabbi Yisai, camp is bitula hikiyuma. That's why you go to camp. And in camp, we wear bathing suits all day. You came here to greet me. You put your suits on? You took your bathing suits off to put your suits on to come greet me? It's a shaila bittul Torah. It's Rabbi Yerucham. My uncle told me. He heard it from Rabbi Yerucham. So do you have to take a break? Of course you have to take a break. Finally, at what expense? At what expense is Torah? So, famous Mishnah, Kaki Dora, Dakar Shotora, Paspa, Lechem Torah, Maimam, Surah Tishde, Palos Tisha, Machait Sa, Tichia, Vatorah, Tomel. By the way, the Mishnah shouldn't be taken literally, that this is the only way you can learn Torah. Bread with salt, water, and sleep on the ground. So, Maisha Briskarov's daughter was engaged to a very wealthy man, to Rav Briska's son was engaged to a very wealthy man's daughter. I think it was Antwerp. Came to visit, he walked into the Briskarov's house and he see him sitting at a table, and on top of the table in the Briskarov's house was a cord, an electric cord, with a socket at the end with a bulb. This was his electric. So this wealthy man says to the Briskarov, is this how you're expecting our children to live? The Briskarov said, I wish them all the best. They should have a lot of gashmias. But I expect them that if need be, this is the way they should live. Of course, if you can manage, if you're going to be a yozorcha to have, the amenities of life, of course. But a person has to ask what the Mishnah means. A person has to be prepared that if need be, he should do it. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman had a guest. It's different versions of the story, if it was a brother or as an old classmate who became a world-class lawyer. Came to visit Rabbi Chanan. He sees the barest, of living quarters in Rabbi Chanan. Doesn't understand. He says, I remember in school you were much smarter than I became a lawyer, fancy about making a lot of money. You could have been who knows what. You were much smarter than me. The topic changed. He's ready to go. Rabbi Chanan walks him to the train station. On the train station, on the platform, there's one train going east, one going west. This person has to go east. And the trains pull up. The train going west was a nice, beautiful new train of those days, modern, with cushioned seats. The one going east was a slug in a train, if you know what I mean. It was the Rosh Hashiva, the Yeshivisha trains. Anyway, so this fella starts walking onto the train going east. So Rabbi Chanan puts his arm around. He says, why would you want to go on that train? He says, look at this beautiful train here. So he looks at Rabbi Chanan, he says, what's main deal? What are you talking? But that's going. My destination is east. I have to go this way. It's going the wrong way. So Rabbi Chanan said, look, listen to the words you just said. That's your destination, huh? If you have your destination in mind, even if need be, you're going to take the barest of necessities. He said, you commented about my living quarters. In my mind, I have a destination. My destination was set, and if need be, this is the way I have to get to my destination. This is the way I go. The truth of the matter is, I see the time is late. I try to be extremely makbid, not to keep shail of Gezel Zman and maybe Gezel Shena. So I'm not going to do this last piece. I encourage everybody, there's a piece on the Mishnah in Peah, the Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. At the end of the Mishnah, there is Shnois Eliyo, Pirish Ha'oruch from the Vilna Gaon. There's a piece here who describes the value of one letter of Torah. It's kedai to go through this piece. One letter the ganze Torah. What's the first thing Hashem created? So everybody knows the Medrash, 2,000 years before the world was the Torah. But that wasn't the first. The first one was the olive base. You can't have the Torah without the olive base. In fact, I saw it in the Mefarshim. I don't remember the name. It says it's hinted right in the Torah. Bereishis bara Elokim. What's the next word? Es. Olive the tough. That's the first thing Hashem created. So Rabbi, I hope that there were, I know that there were no major chidushim, but hopefully we will all gain bizocha to appreciate and maintain Chshivas HaTorah, each person according to their own ability. Thank you.